The following podcast contains adult language and subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, from the Nerd Store Annex in Gabe's basement, thinking outside the long box with Juan and Gabe, and now your hosts, Juan Moreau and Gabe Yanas. Hey, welcome to Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
And I'm Juan.
And this week we have a special interview coming up with the guys from Grizzly Gambit Gaming. They're going to be telling us about their... G's. Yeah, it is a lot of G's. And they also are alliterative in their game name, which is called Monsters, Mayhem, and Murders. I'm actually pretty excited.
Alliterations are pretty cool, though.
Alliterations
fun.
Are better than puns. I hate puns, but... Anyway, so Juan, what do you have for us in the news?
First, we can't do the news because we got to bring up Gabe's mistakes in the last show.
Oh, right. So real quick, and I talked with Juan about this a little bit. I think we're going to start doing a segment where John, our cohort, basically tells us what we said that's stupid.
And
it's going to be called Retractions from John. So what do you think? Should we start doing that?
I think so. All right. I think John would get a kick out of it, too.
So next episode, look forward to Retractions from John. But
what is happening, Long Box listeners? At least that's what I'm going to call you guys. John here from Hall of Justice Comics, part of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Starting something off a little different this time with... I guess it's John's corrections segment. Like I explained last time, since I don't record with Juan and Gabe up at the Nerd Store in Greeley, I do my own segment kind of remotely down here at the house. And so I get to listen to what they have recorded previously once we release the podcast to the general public. And so every time I listen to it, you know, in all two episodes that have come out so far... I start messaging Juan immediately, and I'm like, dude, what are you talking about here? This is completely wrong. So here's my fun little correction segment for episode 2. First of all, Carl Urban was the actor who portrayed Judge Dredd in the Dredd movie and was also in the Chronicles of Riddick movie, which I was a huge fan of. Not Keith Urban. Keith Urban is, in fact, a country singer, and I'm sure that that's a pretty common name for folks named Keith Urban, but the dude who played the villain in Chronicles of Riddick and Judge Dredd, his name is indeed Carl Urban. The second correction that we have, I think everybody was talking about The Rock and how he's going to play Black Adam in an upcoming Shazam movie. Which is totally awesome, and he would kick ass in that role. It's very exciting to hear that news coming out. But The Rock was actually a bad guy in the movie Get Smart with Steve Carell, playing a good agent that eventually turned into a double agent. I unfortunately saw the movie because I'm a huge Steve Carell fan, and it was rather disappointing. But The Rock was indeed a bad guy in the Get Smart movie. Number 3, correction for last episode. Juan seems to have an issue with the movie Pacific Rim, which is absolutely an awesome movie. And he should probably rewatch that because he was actually thinking of a movie called Battleship rather than Pacific Rim when he and I were chatting about the episode afterwards. So, you know, definitely go and have another look at Pacific Rim. It's giant freaking mecha robots fighting nasty beasties from the center of the earth. It doesn't get much better than that, which kind of segues into an interesting little tidbit. You know, everybody I think who is listening to this has a pretty good idea that Juan has a giant man crush on Kevin Smith. And it's completely... You know, substantiated. Kevin Smith is an awesome dude. He's hilarious. I love his movies. I love everything that he does. But I have a huge man crush on Guillermo del Toro, the guy who was the, I don't know if he produced or directed or probably both, Pacific Rim, both Hellboy movies. He's a huge kind of horror guy, and so I have a man crush on him. So when everybody's talking smack about Pacific Rim, I take that a little personally because, you know, I really like the guy and I like what he does. And that brings me to my fourth correction. How the hell have we not talked about The Strain on this podcast yet? For those of you who may not be familiar, The Strain is a TV show that airs on FX. Season one is completely over. But I know that you can watch it on demand on Comcast. You can probably get it on Netflix soon. It is the TV adaptation of Guillermo del Toro and Chuck Hogan's book, The Strain, which I think had three different volumes that came out. And Dark Horse actually licensed it and turned it into a comic book series before it was optioned as a TV show. And the comic book series is awesome. I haven't read the books. My wife has read the books. She has not read the comic books, but we both watched the TV show together. And if you like The Walking Dead, if you like the, you know, kind of horror-y, non-sparkly vampires, you've got to watch The Strain because it is amazing. And I think that wraps up my little segment of John's corrections from episode 2. I'm sure we'll have lots more goodies for episode 3, so I don't know where the hell we're going to put this thing at, but hopefully you enjoyed it, and you know, make sure to stick around for my segment on middle-aged guy that likes old shit, or whatever the hell it's called. So, adios.
Real quick, I'd like to point out that I know that Luke Cage isn't Iron Fist. I'm not a moron. Like, I know that.
Well, let's not go that
way. I know that Luke Cage is Power Man and that he's one of the heroes for hire. And I stand by my casting of Terry Crews as Luke Cage.
And you secondly called Carl Urban Keith Urban.
Keith Urban.
I thought it was wrong. But I never made the full connection that
John did. Carl Urban doesn't care. He's cool. He'd be cool with it.
He might come down here and bring the law into his own hands.
No, I am the law. Sorry, I had to do it again.
That's a better version. All right. As we mentioned last time.
Okay, we're not going to get into that again because everybody knows that Dredd is better than Judge Dredd.
No. You're crazy.
Oh, my God. This is almost as bad as you not liking Pacific Rim. One. Before this turns into fisticuffs, could you please give us a bit of news?
Yes. Today, actually, which would be the 10th, and I don't think you'll listen to this until much later than that, Marvel teased. They got together in some big secret meeting, and store owners got to go and ask questions. But nobody knows what those questions were. But there was comicbook.com was there, kind of filling us in on the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And they teased with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in a picture. And above it, it says no more mutants. And a lot of people are speculating that that might have something to do with the X-Men. And maybe, I don't know. I highly doubt that it would come to an end because it's the freaking X-Men, but it was an interesting picture that I'll have to post onto our Facebook.
Dude, if Disney got the rights to X-Men, could you imagine like the epic movies that
what
they could make?
What isn't Disney buying at this point?
Well, I mean, let's see. So they own Marvel and they own...
They should own Spider-Man. Sony should give that up already.
But let's see. They own 3/5 of the United States of America and they own... I'm pretty sure the rights to the Bible and,
wow.
No,
I didn't know you could own those rights.
Yeah. The side notes are coming from my daughter who's not supposed to be talking right now. Bailey, say hi. Now say nothing else.
aside from that quick one, they also gave a tease that was, might signal the end of the Fantastic Four. It was, oh crap, I'll have to look it up again. It said the end is forever or something like that. And that's what they're speculating about.
Thing, like with the dual flop that was Fantastic Four and Rise of the Silver Surfer, and then their plans to reboot it, They have to do something spectacular with it.
I don't think it will.
Or it's not going to be worth it.
The one of the guys said they're not going to be in costumes. They're not going to have suits. And it's not going to be any kind of hokey superhero stuff is what he said. I forget which. I can't remember who. It was some famous guy. I think it was Jordan. Jordan is his last name.
Why try to reinvent Marvel's greatest comic book magazine? It says it. It says it on the front. Marvel's greatest comic book magazine. Why are we trying to reinvent that? Like, it's ridiculous.
I thought that could use a good reboot, but it sounds it could like use it's a good not reboot, going to be good.
Yeah.
Bummer. That's what, who knows? It'll come out and be amazing. Who knows? It just sounds really weird.
Nate Ellis, our friend Nate, is going to be so pissed off. Like, he loves Fantastic Four, much like a man loves a woman.
Or another man.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Or whatever. Who cares? Like a man loves something that he loves. And I don't mean like
his comic books, like, in our instance.
Yeah. Oh my God. So we're
getting interrupted.
We're getting interrupted because I think comic books are coming into the house that are awesome.
Hi, people. This is Mel.
This is going to be the weirdest episode.
Hey, guys. Welcome to our new format. It's called Gabe's Family Interrupts the Show.
My son just brought in Conan comic books, so I'm allowed to be distracted. You can edit this out, I'm sure. And scene.
I don't even know where we were at.
All right.
Do you know where we were at? Because I have no idea.
Do we want to just start the new segment?
I got some other things. My second piece of news, Super Troopers sequel.
Just say that sentence again. just start that segment over.
Water everywhere. Okay, so here we go again. Super Troopers, the sequel is definitely happening, it sounds like. It sounds like filming is going to happen sometime early next year.
Very cool.
It's weird. It's weird to me that it took so long because I thought it was a really popular movie when it came out.
It was like, my understanding is that it was kind of like a cult popular movie.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Like, it probably didn't make a ton in the box office, but made a ton of DVD sales.
Right.
Speaking of not popular movies, Tusk.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet either.
So here's the thing. It bombed in the theater. Bombed, and quote unquote. Yeah, yeah. But he's like covered all his costs, whatever. So everything that he's doing in ticket sales is just making money.
Right.
Right. He does not give a shit. And it's the most beautiful thing. Like, all the interviews he's done about it are fantastic. Like, if you haven't read anything about how Kevin Smith is responding to the quote unquote bombing of Tusk, dude, it's amazing. Like,
side note,
motherfuckers.
This part of this conversation is dedicated to John because he is a hater that we talk about Kevin Smith so much. So I had to throw that out there a little bit.
Hey, John.
I love Kevin Smith.
But it's cool because he actually got Clerks 3 funded, and that was my coming soon, but it doesn't matter because the show's a little weird this week. But that's actually my coming soon is because of Tusk. I don't know if it's the person who distributed Tusk or who funded Tusk. They wanted to know what else he had. And he's like, well, I don't know. I got Clerks 3 that hasn't been funded yet. So they gave him all the money to make Clerks 3, which is getting filmed in June next year.
Very cool.
So that's, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't had time, but I'm going to see it. And it's, I mean, who cares? That's his audience.
You're
is,
part of the problem. Why?
Yeah. His audience is not people who go to the movie. I mean, typically it's not people who go to buy tickets and go to the movies.
How did you watch Clerks or Mallrats the first time? I didn't see either of those in the theater.
No,
I saw both of them on VHS. Like, you were too little.
I was too little. No, but I think he'll, like you said, the it was already funded anyways. Tusk had no, it's not going to not make money because of who bought it.
Right.
But he's going to make the most money through video on demand and through DVD sales and all of this other stuff that he doesn't need people to go to the movies. It's fun.
I mean, it is what it is, of course. Right. But so my piece of news. 2013 sales of comic books were up, like, a lot. Mostly, from what I've read, it's basically been based on manga and trades, like trade paperbacks. Those of you not familiar with the term, I think we talked about it a little bit before, but when you have an ongoing series of comic books, like every six issues or so, they'll put out like a paperback version of it collected into one volume, you know, and that's where you get your, you know, Moon Knight Volume 1, which is the first six issues of whatever. So,
and I've actually been thinking, because we both have people who listen to the show that sometimes have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of doing, finding a website or compiling a group of what is a compendium and what is, you know, what is a trade paperback? What are these things, you know, that right. we say that sometimes don't come across to everybody?
So if you're curious, which you may be, trade paperback actually comes from the term for the size. It's a trade in that it's bigger than a mass market paperback, which is like what you find at the grocery store.
Right, right.
That's where that phrase comes from.
Cool.
But most of the time we just call them trades on sheets. It'd be listed as such and such volume 3 TP, which just means trade paperback.
Right, so. Right. No, I thought that'd be a cool little just a cool little thing to help people who aren't familiar with comic books or who aren't familiar with nerd stuff.
If you guys, yeah, feel free to send us questions, because clearly we're the experts with Luke Cage being Iron Man. See, I didn't even say my mistake right that time. I said Iron Man. Said you Iron did. Fist.
Who knows? We've had a long day, people.
Madness.
Yeah. The last part of my miscellaneous news. And I'm going a little offbeat this week. Not a lot of comic book news or show news. Jeff Goldblum came out and said that he has a script for Independence Day 2 in hand.
Yes.
Yes. But as much as I love it.
Juan, today is our Independence Day.
as much as I love that news, Will Smith is not going to be in any of those sequels. Conscious. Which is weird.
Why? Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Originally, they said they You'd didn't want to.
I'm Will Smith. Throw all your dollar bills at me.
Originally, they said that they didn't want to give him the money, and they wanted to start with new, fresh faces and obviously pay them cheaper. But they wanted to do young, new actors instead of a Will Smith who would command such a giant payday. But, yeah, I mean, but he was the one.
Independence Day.
I know.
Dude, like. In my childhood, there was no, like, that is the summer blockbuster that I just remember. I mean, besides Batman and Die Hard, which, not Die Hard, Die Hard 3. I remember
with being a vengeance?
Like, yeah, Die Hard with a Vengeance. I remember it being like super, all right, this is the summer movie.
Right, right.
Like, aside from those two, the one that I just remember like being so epic and such a big event was going on the 4th of July with my dad and like my step siblings to see Independence Day. And I just remember like that scene where the president's given the speech.
Oh,
and
it's all, such an awesome.
Today is our Independence Day. I was seriously in my seat like, yes, they're going to blow the fuck up out of aliens because of America. Like,
and every Independence Day since is, it's an awesome movie.
Oh, I watch it at least every other 4th of July. Oh, I made my kids watch it and they're like, you know, at first they had that total like, you know, I'm a little kid. I don't need to like the old things.
Right, right, right.
And like 20 minutes into it, my son's like, this is so cool. I'm like, I know. I told you.
So there might be a third one even he's contemplating, that Jeff Goldblum's contemplating being in as well. The sad kind of flip side to this news that has nothing to do with Independence Day is that he's not going to be in Jurassic World.
Oh, that's
which
a bummer.
Is really weird to me because he's like the main, aside from I don't know his real name. Alan, isn't that his name? The main archaeologist. Aside from him.
You mean Sam Neill?
Yes, that's right. I couldn't remember it. Sam Neill. Aside from Sam Neill.
I only know his real name.
Yeah. Him and Jeff Goldblum were the two mainstays of that whole series. And I don't think either of them are going to be in the next one, which is really weird.
Everything I hear about Jurassic World, like, in my brain, I'm like, it has so much potential, but I think it's going to be a disaster.
It looks, from like you said, from everything I've seen, all the promotional stuff, all the little leaks, cool. It looks really good.
Well, my final piece of news is very Colorado-centric, and it's something that I'm really excited about. Quentin Tarantino will be filming his new Western in Colorado.
Ah, sweet.
And me and a bunch of friends are going to do literally everything in our power to get to be extras on that movie, like mostly so I can like just scream at Quentin Tarantino, sign my tits, man. Like, oh my
God. Yeah, like, he'll be the one getting thrown out.
Yeah. Like, I absolutely, one of my favorite directors of all time. Like, I am super stoked to see that movie, and I can't wait to see what they do with.
Do we know what it's about or anything?
I believe it's called The Hateful Eight. It sounds kind of like a Seven Samurai / Magnificent Seven kind of idea, but with one extra and directed and done by Quentin Tarantino.
Right.
Did you see Django Unchained?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
So he can make a Western like.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm pretty stoked to see it.
So. Jamie Foxx is a fucking kick-ass actor anyway.
He's one of those actors like last time how we were talking about actors that can, you know, actors that you can't remember. What am I trying to say? Those actors that this is Tom Cruise playing X.
Oh, right.
Jamie Foxx is definitely one of those actors that disappears into a role where you completely forget that this is somebody famous, like in Ray or Django Unchained.
I don't know that I saw Ray. I don't. I know it's a I from what I heard it was a good movie, but really, really I don't know good. That I saw that one.
Definitely worth watching.
I think you were talking about Will Smith last time, where you said you couldn't separate him.
No, it was Denzel.
Was it Denzel? It's Denzel, okay. Washington. I think Will Smith is another one where it doesn't matter what he's playing. It's fucking.
It's Will Smith.
I'm bought into that.
Right on. Well, but that seems to be our miscellaneous news. A lot of movie news.
And that's good. I think the show. We want it to focus on pop culture. So not just comic books and not just
This is all about
TV shows. I like movie news. I like other things. It brings in some other people.
I said comic books.
You'll notice this episode, because of the interview, which is totally cool, and we loved having them on, by the way. This episode will be a little bit disarrayed, and it'll be a little bit shorter as far as our segment goes, because then you'll get to listen to Gabe spatter with Grizzly Gambit Gaming.
Yeah,
I'm always jack up alliterations, but I think that finishes the miscellaneous news, and we'll go to break, and we'll come right back. All right, and we're back here, and I think current stuff is up next.
Yep, we're going to talk about some cool stuff that's out now. So,
I have two questions. So, if you want to go first and do what you got to do, mine is more this week is more for what we can do to help people who have not read comic books or read a piece of manga that I was going to ask you about. So, the first question is. If somebody were to come to the store, the Nerd Store, Greeley, Colorado.
807 8th Street.
Open
from 11 to 10, Monday through Thursday, 11 to midnight, Fridays and Saturdays.
Which is fucking awesome. I've never been to a comic book shop that's open that late. But if somebody were to come to you and say, hey, I really like manga items, manga things, you know what I mean? What comic book would you point them to that's out now or that's coming out soon that they could get into?
Okay, so there's a couple really tricky things about that.
Okay.
So manga comes in a few different stripes. Okay.
The two most popular are called Shonen and Shoujin, I think is how those are pronounced. And they're effectively boy comics and girl comics. So the boy comics is stuff like Naruto, Rurouni Kenshin, One Piece. Yeah, you're shaking your head. Like, I have no idea what's going on.
But that's good. That's good. That's okay. That's the point.
The girl comics are like Chobits and like Love Hina and stuff like that. The focus, I think, has a lot to do more with like the social stratification in Japan, where the boy comics are action-y and the girl comics are romance-y.
Okay.
So there's those two aspects, and that's in America, we don't give a crap. Like, sure, I know a ton of dudes that are like really, really into like, you know, just random
Sailor Moon.
Yeah, Sailor Moon, that kind of stuff. And a lot of guys that are into stuff, especially like Naruto and, you know, all those sorts of things.
Right.
Really, it's about what you love. If you like ninjas, read Naruto. If you like samurai warriors, read Lone Wolf and Cub. If you like, you know, if you like mechs, read Neon Genesis Evangelion. Like, it's really about finding what you like. The really popular titles right now are like Black Butler is really good. People have been, because of the TV show, people have been really, really into Attack on Titan.
Right.
And if you like Attack on Titan, another older book that you might really enjoy is Battle Royale, which they've made a movie out of and a novel out of, but is separated into like a, I think it's like a 30 or 35 volume series. That's the other thing with manga. Once you get into it, you're looking at a pretty serious commitment to read the entire segment, or not segment, the entire run of it.
Right.
Because like single issue comics, they come out in magazines in Japan. The two really popular ones are like Shonen Jump, which is where you get like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Kenshin and stuff like that.
Right, right.
And then they anthologize them into the little digest books. And those magazines, I think, come out weekly. So they put out a lot of volume really fast.
So like my wife, she's not big on comics.
Okay.
But she does lean, because she really likes Sailor Moon. But I don't think they do that anymore.
Just restarting it.
Oh, okay.
Sailor Moon stuff is going to start to come out again really soon.
So if she, let's put Sailor Moon aside. If she were to come in and say, I like something like Sailor Moon, what would you point her to?
Probably more of like the, like Chobits is an ongoing series. I haven't really read it, but a lot of people I know really enjoy it.
Right.
A book that I've read that has some similarities but isn't really that similar is X. That's like just what it's called. It's
okay.
X. It's by I want to say they're like an art collective called Clamp, and they put out several books like Legal Drug and I think Chobits too. Now that I think
about
it.
Okay.
There's that kind of stuff. You know, there's a few like Sailor Moon knockoff kind of comic books. She might enjoy Naruto just because it's like that action-y, like over the top kind of stuff.
Right.
It's not so ridiculous like Dragon Ball Z is. So.
I like Dragon Ball. I used to like. I don't watch it all that much anymore.
Yeah, but you're a dude. Like,
right.
Dudes like
sure.
Dragon Ball Z.
For
like,
sure.
Not me. I read
he's real a, he's comic a chick.
Books. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely about exploring your tastes and like kind of looking at that sort of stuff. So
cool. That was my first one.
Nice. Next question.
Next question.
Quiz me, sir.
Very, very similar.
Yeah.
If a first time comic book reader were to come in, and we would eliminate the obvious superhero stuff, Batman, Superman, all of that stuff is not on the board. What non superhero comic book would you tell somebody as, okay, this is a good first starter comic book you should read?
Stop talking so I can say Saga.
Okay. I think that has to be certain age group though, don't you think?
Yeah, if you're an adult, definitely Saga.
Okay.
Saga is really, really good. I cannot express how good it is. Let's see. So are you talking about a kid?
Let's say 14, 15.
Oh, okay.
So around that kind of age.
Not superhero-y, early teen.
I stumped him, I think.
So for like a 13 to 14 year old kid, like the easiest entrance into comic books is going to be the superhero genre.
Right.
Like just standard. If they're intentionally wanting to steer away from superhero comics.
I'm just saying that because it's like you said, that's the easy choice.
Yeah.
Here, have a Batman or have a Superman. That's the easy choice.
So my favorite not superhero comics are Conan comics and like adventure kind of comics like that. But the easiest is readily available. Currently on the shelves, you have Conan the Avenger, King Conan, which I think just finished up its 6-issue run. And then the super humorous Gru versus Conan,
okay,
which is really fun. Other great titles. You know, you can say that the Shadow is a superhero, but really he's just like a detective. And then there's always the great standbys. There's stuff like Eerie and Creepy, Haunted Horror, which are like the anthology comics that I'm actually going to talk about in my Things Gabe Likes Because He's Old segment. But those anthology comics are really great because they're like little short, you know, you probably remember like Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So like
for
Eerie sure. and Creepy, same idea. Like, you know, each issue has like 3 to 5 like little short stories in it.
I've seen Creepy. I've never read it, but I've seen it.
So Creepy is like the horror one, and Eerie is kind of like the science horror one.
Okay.
So like kind of sci-fi horror. So,
okay.
Yeah, those are probably my recommendations. So
cool. Well, that's all of my current stuff for this episode.
So for me, the big current comic book that just came out this week, and you know, like Juan said, you'll probably be listening to this in a couple weeks, but Scott Snyder has a new book out from Image called Witches with a Y. I haven't read it yet, but holy crap, I am super, super excited about this book. Like, Scott Snyder is one of my favorite writers. I loved his run of Swamp Thing with Yannick Paquette. I mean, it's just, he's a genius. Like, he does great on Batman. He's done great. He's done great by all the superheroes in general.
Right, right.
Know, one of my favorite writers. So
why witches with a Y?
I don't know. Because it's hip and cool, I guess. I don't know. I know that it's like a supernatural horror book that's like about witches. So it's like...
It's like Sabrina's coming out here pretty soon,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. Sabrina came out this week, too.
Oh, this week.
I am really, really excited. The covers are great, too. They came out with 2 covers. One is a play on the cover of Flowers in the Attic. I don't know if you remember that book?
A little bit.
It used to be a standby at the grocery store. Like, you could always buy Flowers in the Attic. But so the main cover is a play on Flowers in the Attic, and the variant cover is a play on Rosemary's Baby. And it's really, really cool. Like, it's they're some great looking books. Also haven't had a chance to read it yet.
I think that's one that I want to put in the poll. John just reminded me of that. We were talking on Facebook, I think, earlier
today. Have you read Afterlife with Archie at all?
Yeah, I'm reading the whole run.
Oh, my God. It's so awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
The other thing that I know we're kind of careening, but it just came up. The
as usual.
As usual. Yeah. The Archie and Predator.
What?
Yeah, you didn't see that yet?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think it was either today or yesterday or a couple days ago, but there's going to be an Archie Predator comic book. I don't know if it's going to be a run or if it's just going to
be like a 4-issue movie or something like that. That's hilarious. Like I started a new job. So besides working at the comic book shop, I've been doing other stuff and it's been an insane week. So every time I look at my Facebook, there's like 90 new notifications and I just like don't look at them. So I probably got the news at it, but just haven't checked it. So the big news this week.
Uh-oh.
You ready for the big news?
I'm ready.
Or I guess the big out now. Dude, The Flash. Have you watched it yet?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Can we just talk for – I want to talk for just a second about how The Flash is absolutely why I read comic books in the 90s. Like, when I was a kid in the 90s, the superhero books were exactly what that TV show was.
Sure.
Like, he's a superhero. He's a good guy. He wants to do good. He has a team of buddies that helps him out. everything about that hit everything that I loved about X-Men in the 90s,
right?
Batman in the 90s, you know, fuck the Flash in the 90s, like Green Arrow and Green Lantern and like all those books that I don't really read too much of now, but that I read voraciously when I was in like middle school and high school.
Right, right.
The Flash hits all those notes. Like it was amazeballs.
It was
like,
really, it was really
so good.
I went when towards the end when the Flash and Arrow are talking on the roof. Literally, I was like, this is fucking awesome. Like, dude. I was like, this is why I love shared universes. Cause maybe they'll talk to each other, you know, once a season, if that, you know what I mean? But it's just, cause you see, I haven't watched Arrow, but from what I hear, you see some of that in the Arrow that just premiered as well. And it's just way cool. Cause you see it from different vantage points and the Flash and the Arrow coming together on my TV screen was just fucking cool. It was just really, really cool.
Here's the thing. So we talked a lot about shared universes last
two times.
Yeah. What if there was a standalone DCU TV universe? What if they like put together like a Justice League show that had a Batman character, a Superman character? It didn't mishmash with like the movies, which would be unfortunate in my opinion. But what if CW just went out of its way to put together a DCU on TV?
We talked about it a little bit last week in that I think it'd be a good idea. I think it'd be really cool.
I almost feel like it could be better than a movie universe because the investment, say Supernatural. Like Supernatural is a show I really, really like through about 5-6 seasons.
Been around a long time.
I kind of stopped watching it after like season 6 and I need to pick it back up because I enjoy it. But I'm way more invested in the characters by the time I've binged watched like the first 3 seasons of the show than I ever could be even across like 8 or 10 movies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I almost wonder.
You're able to go more in depth in a 30-minute episode because you have multiple episodes
Many of them. Yeah. Right. Like, what if they started to develop that? Like, wouldn't that be great?
Which was it? Was it Arrow or was it Flash that teased Batman in the show as well? You saw Wayne Enterprises, I think is what you saw.
That's an Arrow episode.
It might have been Arrow. I think it just came out recently. Maybe it was the new one that just came out. I need to watch it. I TiVo'd it or DVR'd it, and then we were deleting old shows, and I deleted it. And I was so pissed off.
Dude, I'm gonna have to look up the information on that because I feel like a TV DCU could be even more impressive than a movie one.
Sure. And like you said, it would be disappointing that they don't cross to the movies as well. Right. But I like the fact that, and we've beat the dead horse, but I like the fact that you can see, you know, even Constantine, it's not even on CW. It's on NBC, I think. And it would just be cool to see him across the board.
It would be great. Like I feel like it's a direction they could definitely take it that I could see being just as successful as the Marvel Universe is, but just within on the small screen as
well. And it's sad because I want Marvel to do really well too. And the Flash apparently, I don't know that it killed S.H.I.E.L.D. in the spot that they're at, but it beat S.H.I.E.L.D. for the ratings because they're on the same time.
If it continues to be this good, it's going to slaughter it.
And like, I like S.H.I.E.L.D. too. Like S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. is good, but man, the Flash, I'm telling
you, it's hard.
It's everything that comics were for me when I was a kid. Like watching it, I was like, this is the same feeling. This is the same feeling I had every time Peter Parker beat up the Green Goblin. It's the same feeling I had, with the love triangle between Jean, Cyclops and Wolverine.
Oh, right,
like,
right.
I mean, those are the same emotions where I'm like, oh man, like, you know, and they almost intentionally don't talk about how much Felicity came to visit Barry Allen,
right?
You know, while he was in his coma and stuff. And I can't. They've got to tie that thread in.
I think they will.
Oh my god, it's so good.
It's cool. It's really so cool. Good. And I think this is the part of the episode where Gabe tells us how much he's enjoying Gotham too.
Oh my god. Okay. We're three episodes into Gotham.
Because he was a hater the first episode, I think we did.
No, not even the first episode. I was a pre-hater. I was this show's going to be awful. It's so good. Like, it is so much better than I thought it was going to be. Can we just talk about how creepy Cobblepot is?
Oh, man. He is.
Dude, that it's guy. It's weird. I have no clue who that actor is. And I don't want to know. I want in my mind to just forever think that that guy is the Penguin. Like, I'm waiting for whatever disaster happens in his life.
Right.
Where he goes, like, instead of like laughing normal, like, something's got to happen to where he has to laugh like
when
that.
And he's got to start getting his plumpy. I mean, you saw some of it in the third episode, I think, where he kills the dude and then immediately goes and gets himself a sandwich.
Yeah. And I also like that he's murdering his way to the top.
Right, right.
Like, and look, the Penguin traditionally he's exactly what they're building him up to in the show. He's the villain that nobody's really afraid of.
Right.
Because come on, an umbrella, like a fat dude with an umbrella. Like, it's not scary, but
that's where he gets you.
You underestimate the right. Penguin, and then the Penguin fucking kills you. Like, and in the show, that's exactly what he's doing.
Right.
And it's done. I'm going to say it. It's done to perfection. Like, that dude is creepy as shit. He is a murdering, thieving, crazy person. And it's awesome.
Oh, it's really good.
Man, I'm blanking. What's Gordon's partner's name?
Oh, me too. I can never remember his name. Never.
Dude, he's like an important part of Batman throughout the entire course.
I'm just horrible with names.
Of the run.
Because you don't know if he's
Donald Logue, I believe is how you say the actor's name.
I can't get – he was in a comedy that I can't remember the name of either.
And he was in a show called Terriers that I love. Yeah. But he is also nailing the corrupt cop.
Yeah, like, it's so – his parts are fucking comic relief to the point.
Almost nothing that I like about him. And it's brilliant. Like, the third episode introduces our first supervillain too.
Right.
The Balloon Man.
Right.
Who, when you watch it, you're like, well, that's corny as shit. And then it happens and you're like – no longer corny. That would be horrible. Like,
and the Dollmaker is another shared universe thing.
Yeah. And they alluded to the Dollmaker
right.
a couple times. And dude, I don't know, man.
when you first saw Selina Kyle, I thought she was like 30.
Yeah. There's something weird. There was something weird in the pilot about the way that they filmed her. She looked like an adult.
She looked
old.
And
I was like, what is going on? That doesn't make any sense.
I was like, how is adult Selina Kyle gonna do this when Bruce Wayne's finally old enough?
And there's a great dynamic. I like the cat and mouse game
right.
that she's playing with Gordon right now. Sorry. Batman 66
awesome,
reared its ugly head right there. Not ugly. Everybody loves Batman 66 and with good reason.
Who doesn't like Batman?
Idiots.
Yeah, that's idiots. Fucking, that's an easy one.
The terrorists. when you don't like Batman, the terrorists win.
They have won at that point.
Oh, man.
No, I just wanted to, and I think your wife will like it that I rubbed it in your face a little bit.
Oh, dude, so. Everybody has, because I talked so much shit about it. I thought it was going to be terrible. Like, you can't tell me it didn't look like it was going to be awful.
I'm telling you, and it's because I don't not like a lot of things,
right?
Unless they're just absolutely horrible. But I was excited for all of it because I knew at this point in comics that they were taking the movies really seriously and they've upped their game in that. So they had to with the TV shows. It wouldn't make sense. So I'm excited for Constantine because that's the last premiere that's going to happen.
Right. And that's in like
24th, I think, is when it comes out. And that's if that show is amazing, I mean, that's going to be one awesome run of TV. Yeah.
Because DC's been, aside from the Batman trilogy, the movies have been a little lackluster.
Right.
But
they have to catch up on the movie side for sure.
They are winning TV.
Yeah.
Like this sums it up completely for me. I was sitting there watching the third episode of Gotham, and they end the show with the Gotham logo, and the logo sprung up like right after Penguin did something nefarious.
Right.
And I verbally said, "Ah, god damn it." Like, because it snuck up on me.
Right.
I was so into the show.
You don't even realize it's 30 minutes or an hour.
It's 45 minutes was right. Over for a whole nother week. Like, are you kidding me? You're going to make me wait a week?
Yeah, like,
start releasing that shit seasons at a time on Netflix, people.
Yeah, my wife hates me. Thursday is literally the only day that something isn't on that we're recording or watching.
Isn't Constantine in a Thursday slot?
Friday.
Oh, okay.
Friday.
Nice. Right on. Well, that's our stuff that's out now. We're going to go to a break, and I think we're going to do our interview with the guys from Grizzly Gambit Gaming in our next segment. And then when we come back from that, we'll be talking about our coming soon. All right, and we're back. I've got Sundermonk and Clive Craven from Grizzly Gambit Gaming, and they're going to talk to us about their new game, Monsters, Mayhem, and Murderers. Guys, why don't you tell us a little bit about just the basic premise of the game real quick?
Basically, it's a trading card game that's completely horror-based. The first set that we're doing is based around serial killers. Essentially, it is you take the form of one of your infamous chosen villains. You choose a villain to play with. There's 9 of them in the first set. You basically play the game as your villain, and from that point, you build a deck around whatever your chosen villain is. There's all types of different cards. There's weapons. There's armors. There's level-up cards. There's alterations, instincts, all types of things to manipulate the villains that you play. And essentially, the ultimate goal is to bring your enemy down to zero life. It's a multiplayer game. You can play with 2 people. You can play with 3, 4, 5. It doesn't matter. And that's the basics.
Nice. And so are you familiar kind of like with the concept of like collectible card game versus like a living card game where, you know, a collectible card game, you go out and buy packs like Magic cards, whereas a CC or a LCG comes out with like a standalone kind of expansion set every couple of months? Like which are you guys planning on doing, more of the collectible card version or the one where it's more of an expansion style system?
I'd say more collectible, but there will be multiple sets. Every year we will be doing
hopefully 4.
Yeah, 4. 4 is what we're looking at, is what we want to do. Roughly 1 every 3 months is ideally what we're trying to shoot for.
Nice. And so in your intro video, you guys were talking about how, you know, obviously your first set is going to be, you know, the serial killers, you know, Charles Manson and Ricky Ramirez and like those kind of guys. And you had talked about like maybe moving on to fictional characters and stuff too. Do you have any like specific plans for that, or are you still kind of keeping that under wraps?
It's still kind of under wraps. We definitely have plans. We have, you know, some more than one sheet of paper with a bunch of names scrawled on it.
Nice. From
all things.
If it looks anything like my show notes, it's a disaster. So
yeah, we have a binder packed full of loose leaf.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, right now we've got ideas for a few sets, just to give some ideas to the public of what we're talking about. We're talking about in the future doing an all-female set.
Nice.
And possibly kind of Damsels of Death, where we would have, you know, Eileen Wuornos, Nanny Doss, Elizabeth Bathory, Lizzie Borden, Carrie, you know, just tons of, you know, Reagan from Exorcist. I mean, there's so many female villains, you know, that we really, you know, Annie from Misery. I mean, there's just tons of them. So we really wanted to do a set that's all female. We want to do a movie monster set. We'd love to do like a noir set of like universal old school movie monsters, your Frankenstein, Dracula, Mummy.
That was my biggest question was, am I going to be disappointed by no classic monsters? Like that for me, that's my favorite genre of monster movie, but
we're going to try to touch every facet we can. I mean, there's villains and horror in every genre of geekism at this point in time. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's video game villains we want to bring into this. There's all kinds of stuff.
Should I wait with bated breath for the Disney villains set? I'm just kidding. Oh,
no. That's great. That's gold.
But, I think I just created a new sheet of paper in your binder, didn't I? Yeah. I play Scar with a butcher knife to kill your Charles. Oh, never mind. With all this said, you know, typically, basically the best way to pick up games is to, like, you know, go on Amazon or go to a typical brick and mortar store. Which are you guys going to focus on right now? Are you going to try to get some kind of distribution to get into shops, or are you going to, you know, just sell it online, or what are you looking at?
Well, we have three things going right now. The first of which is obviously we're working towards getting everything trademarked and 100% legalized so we can set up a business account so we can actually set up an online store. That's the first thing, is selling it through our own site, because we do have a website, grizzlygambitgaming.com, and that's where we'll have a digital store where people can buy physical copies of the cards and buy direct from us. But then we are also pitching to local comic shops in Maryland, plus ones out of state. We already have two of them in Ohio that are definitely going to be carrying us. We're also working with other places like Cosmic Comics and Toys, which is located right here in Maryland. We're going to be at their upcoming fourth annual Halloween Comic Fest. So they're talking with us, and we might be getting placement with them. We're just talking with a lot of different comic shops locally and trying to build the ground roots right there, you know, grassroots style. And obviously, where the third thing is, we're also looking at a national level with distribution. My brother actually works with Diamond Distributors, which I'm sure you're familiar with them. They're one of the, you know, largest distributors.
Having worked in a comic shop, they are my joy and bane. So yeah.
So yeah, he actually he's a higher up over there, and I'm gonna talk. I haven't even reached out to him yet, but I definitely want to speak with him to see if there's anything he can do with hooking us up with any avenues and helping us kind of push the game further. But right now, man, I mean, you know, we're only what, a month in?
Yeah, I was gonna say it should be stressed that this is still very early in development. Tomorrow, right? Saturday tomorrow, yeah, marks our 1 month anniversary from the date that we said, hey, we should make a horror game.
Nice. That kind of explains, in your intro video, I saw that the cards that you have printed out are all white, and I was going to ask a question about design stuff.
We're still doing a lot of play testing with mock-up cards that just have, you know, the tech. They're just like what you would make in your basement as a kid.
Right. Dude, I never made my own games. Who does that?
So I mean, we're still doing a lot of reaching out to people to try to get some affiliations and just make a lot of connections in the scene.
Very cool.
Locally first, and then, you know, branch out from there.
So you know, speaking of, you know, being new to the game and, you know, doing the play testing with like the you know, low design level cards, do you guys have any artists lined up, or like any, you know, design stuff lined up for the cards? I know you had sent us an email with like some promo material, the instruction booklet and your videos and stuff, and you had included a picture of your Charles Manson card, which looked really cool. And I was just kind of curious, like, is that the basic direction that you're going, or is that kind of the design that you're stuck on, and what direction are you taking the design? Kind of all those ideas about what the cards are going to look like.
I'd say we're definitely close to where we want to be with the design of the layout of the cards. I mean, there's 151 cards in the first set, correct?
Yeah.
So we've got quite a bit of artwork to gather. I mean, each card is going to have its own individual piece of artwork. Clive and myself are both contributing to artwork on our own. We've got several other contributing artists that are jumping on board now. Nakos is our first artist who's actually signed on to take over our Infamous Nine, the big villains from our first set.
Nice.
He's on his third of nine.
Yep.
So he's a big contributor at the moment. We have some other local folks, and we're reaching out to people everywhere we can to contribute to artwork right now.
Nice. So here's the most important question, I feel, of this entire interview.
Okay.
Whose DVD collection is that, and how can I rob that person?
That would be mine, Clive's. That's mine. Those are actually all hard DVDs too.
Nice.
I'm a huge Hark fan, so I mean that's pretty much what I collect for the most part. I got other movies, but most of the collections are.
He actually does quite a bit of unboxing and review type stuff on his personal YouTube channel.
Nice.
Yeah, I do horror movie reviews and unboxings and collection videos, and I have a series where I do Versus, where I compare originals and remakes and
cool.
Sequels, things like that.
We're both pretty deep into horror, but yeah. He's definitely got the bigger collection.
Before I did this, I actually ran like a horror review website. So like when I saw that DVD collection, I was like, oh my God, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. for those of you that haven't seen their intro video, we'll post a link in the show notes to it. There's a wall of DVDs behind these guys that is absolutely unreal. Like, I mean, I almost want to say sexually amazing.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Oh, I'm impressed. I'm way impressed. Nice. Well, guys, it sounds like we hit most of the bases. I definitely would love for you guys to share like any events that you're going to be at soon, or any, you know, where people can go to find your game and all that sort of stuff. This game looks really cool to me. It basically pushes all of my buttons. Like, I absolutely love CCGs because deep down inside, every comic book collector is an obsessive collector, so I will go out of my way to own all the things if I get interested in it. So,
oh yeah, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely not an addiction that's worse than crack. So where can we go to find your stuff, guys?
You can go to our website first and foremost, grizzlygambitgaming.com. You can also check us out on Facebook, which is just Facebook/Grizzly Gambit Gaming. We're also on Twitter, which is just Twitter/Grizzly Gambit.
@GrizzlyGambit.
Oh, @GrizzlyGambit. Little curly Q, right.
Grizzly Gambit.
There you go. And we're also on Instagram, Grizzly Gambit Gaming, Instagram/Grizzly Gambit Gaming. And we're also on YouTube.
Yep.
Yeah, YouTube. Same thing, Grizzly Gambit Gaming. So make sure to check us out on all social media. We got an Indiegogo account going for anybody that wants to donate towards us.
Cool.
Make sure to do that. Get yourself some of the promo cards before anyone else does. And look forward to see us at different events. Like I said, we will be at October 25th. We'll be there all day for the 4th annual Halloween Comic Fest in Catonsville, Maryland. And come on out, come meet and greet us, and we'll definitely hook up the autographs, and we'll be out there giving away candy and having all types of fun stuff going on.
Yeah, lots of free stuff. They got costume contests for kids and adults, all kinds of free stuff, cheap. Everything in the store is, 25% off all day?
25% off sale, yep.
If I lived close enough, I'd come in my sexy nurse outfit.
Island Hill nurse.
Yeah. Oh no, it's way worse than that, man. Nice. Well, all right, guys, it was great talking to you. Real quick, out of your top nine, who is your personal favorite serial killer?
Oh man, you're asking me
on a horror level, like as a horror aficionado, or to play with?
Yeah.
Either one. Why don't you give us to play with so we get a better flavor for the game?
I gotta say Manson. I gotta say Manson for me.
Is Manson Charles your trump Manson. Card right now?
Yeah, he's
a monster. Oh yeah, my goodness,
he's a beast card, and as a person, he's an intelligent psychopath. He's one of the craziest combinations of of mentalities that I've ever seen. Just like he's a very educated dude, but he's also completely batshit at the same time. So he's like a real life comic villain. Like he is the Joker. If the Joker was a real person, he'd be Charles Manson.
Man, that is 100% accurate. How about you, Thunder Monk? You on the same page with the Manson card?
I gotta go Zodiac.
Oh, nice.
Just because the balls.
Yeah.
The balls.
He is still uncaught as of yet.
Yeah,
murder you in the middle of the day. Don't care.
No. Don't care. Nice.
Also, the deck that I've been playtesting is built around the Zodiac.
Yep.
As of late, in the past couple of weeks, and it is it's something to deal with.
Nice. Well, very cool, guys. Well, thanks for chatting with us. I'm really glad we could have you on. Once again, this was Sunder Monk and Clive Craven with Grizzly Gambit Gaming talking a little bit about their new game, Monsters, Mayhem, and Murderers, which I will be tracking down as soon as I can, because that is right up my alley. So
awesome.
It was good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, glad to be on the show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Have a good one.
You too. All right, we're back. Thanks to Clive Craven and Sunder Monk from Grizzly Gambit Gaming. That game sounds rad to me. Like, I'm a huge dork face. And, like,
I'm not a big card guy, but a horror card game would be pretty fucking cool.
It looks really, really like, the gameplay looks pretty inventive. And, like, the card design, the single card that they sent us,
right,
looks really good. So I'm pretty excited for it. I mean,
who wouldn't want to be serial killers?
Typically,
not in real life. Okay. Not in real life. that sounded wrong.
Right. Be sure to go check them out on Facebook and YouTubes and all that stuff. We will post a link to that intro video because you have got to see his wall of DVDs. Like, yeah. It's unreal. Like, jealous. So
he was a little jelly.
Yeah. I'm not gonna say it. All right. So let me. You said you don't have too much prepared for coming soon.
My coming soon was Clerks 3. We talked about that a little bit earlier, right, in the episode. And I just that was pretty much the only thing I had because I wanted to rub it in John's face a little bit.
Nice. Well, so I've got a couple single issue comics that are going to start coming out here pretty soon. Probably right around November time. I could have looked up the dates, but that would have been responsible and professional.
And too easy.
Yeah, I'm not that way. You can look them up yourself. So John Arcudi, pretty famous comic book writer, he's coming out with a new book called Rumble that's about a barbarian in modern times, like, wreaking havoc. It looks amazing. Like, I love, like, if you have not figured this out,
Conan, I love
my barbarian books. Like, Dark Engine is a great Image comic book that's coming out that's like a barbarian book, but it makes little to no sense. It's just like completely insane and awesomely perfect that way. but Conan is hands down one of my favorite books of all time. And Rumble kind of looks like that Conan in the real world,
right,
sort of thing. It looks pretty fun. I'm pretty stoked about it. There was a little preview in previews, which sounds like a redundant sentence. But if you're not familiar with it, in comic book land, there is a magazine that comes out every month called Previews. And Previews features comic books that are going to come out in 2 months.
Do you have to pay for it?
Yeah, it's like $350 or something like that. It's really inexpensive for like a 600-page magazine.
Nice. That
comes out every month.
Yeah, so, that's huge.
Yeah, and it
that's actually a good. I like that. That's a good. I'd never have heard that until you dropped that on me.
We sell them at the shop. It's really cool. It's a really good way to see what's coming out.
Yeah, because I always have to ask you.
Marvel comes out with their separate previews because they put out so much stuff.
Okay.
But so there's a previews and a Marvel previews. If you buy the big previews, you get the Marvel previews for free.
Oh, nice.
If you just want the Marvel book, it's like $1.50.
Okay.
Or something like that. And it's basically, this is what's coming out in 2 months. But there's like a 4 or 5 page preview in previews for Rumble, and it looks absolutely like the kind of book I want to read. So it's right up my alley.
Why would you want to read it aside from that's your genre of comic book?
The art, John Arcudi is a great writer. And really it's just the genre. Like I find myself devouring at least the first like two or three issues of something that fits those niches that I like to read.
Right.
You know, I've said it a lot of times. I don't really read a ton of superhero books anymore. It's not that I don't like them. And I think I may have said that I don't like them in the past, but I think that's not quite right. Now that I've actually kind of analyzed like why I read what I read.
Right.
It's more that they're not in a space plot wise that's mature enough a lot of the time.
Okay.
But there are
– You're saying they're aimed more towards younger kids,
okay. Like teenagers and stuff, and they're perfect for them.
Right.
Like I find myself – Warren Ellis did a 6-issue run on Moon Knight, and he's also he's passed the torch on to Brian Wood, who's done 2 issues of it now. Phenomenal. Total superhero book. Absolutely the kind of thing I love to read.
Right.
I really enjoy – and what's weird is these are actually – geared towards younger kids.
Right.
Not kids, but like I say that because I'm old. Like I'm
he's really
I'm
old.
Pushing 40, guys.
He's but, got his cane riding with him right now.
But the Avengers Underground, which is the sequel to Avengers Arena, they take the young Avengers and Avengers Academy characters and put them through the ringer, and they're pretty hardcore. Like they're really, really good books. But But those are Avengers books,
right?
You know, Swamp Thing, I guess, is a superhero, but Swamp Thing's always been that kind of darker, weirder brand of superhero.
Right.
Constantine.
When I say superhero or when I think of superhero, that's not what comes. Yeah. Exactly. I'm thinking Spider-Man, Superman, you know, Batman. I don't know that I would classify Swamp Thing. Or like you said, The Shadow. I don't know that I would classify.
Well, and The Shadow, I think The Shadow isn't really a superhero. Like he's a lot like Batman or Punisher or Hawkeye where he's just a dude that happens to be like a detective and solves crimes by shooting with pistols. you know, definitely a throwback to an older time, which is really cool. But so my next coming soon, are you familiar with Gail Simone?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Gail Simone is probably I like a lot of female artists and writers.
Okay.
I love – especially like – Lila Del Duca, who does the art on Shudder, and Fiona Staples, who does the art on Saga. Those are, with the exception of probably Mike Mignola, are my two favorite comic book artists currently. But, you know, Mignola, I would give him butt hugs. So, like,
I think John has a Hellboy signed by Mignola.
You know what I would love to get signed by Mignola is the Doom That Came to Gotham, the Lovecraftian Batman book that he drew. Oh, it's so good. It's like, look, all of the coolest things in one spot. H.P. Lovecraft, Batman, and Mike Mignola all together in one with a chewy nougat center. Gail Simone, she did The Movement, which had unfortunately like way too short of a run. And she is about to start putting out from DC a new Secret Six.
Okay.
Do you know what Secret Six is?
Yep.
Oh, dude. Secret Six is so bitchingly cool. Like, those of you not familiar with the plot of Secret Six, it's always a group of six heroes, one of whom is the Mockingbird, and all six of them all think the other one is the Mockingbird. It's so cool. Like, it's such a great idea. And Gail Simone is such an awesome writer that it's going to be so good. Like, I'm so excited. This is the level of excitement that I should have had for Gotham, but instead I have it for Secret Six.
He was a hater, so.
Dude, I'm telling you, it looked like it was going to. I was not holding my breath. But yeah, Secret Six looks like it's going to be great. And they put it in super capable hands.
Right.
So,
I mean, are there people who you go, man, I'm not reading that comic book because this person's writing it or because this person's drawing it or any of those. I mean, is there somebody who just sticks out that you're like, nah, I'm out?
No, you know, there really isn't. Like, I find that there are people that I specifically actively seek out,
right.
But there's not people that I actively avoid. I know, well, Rob Liefeld. I hate his art. Like, he tried so hard to ruin comic books for me. Like, I mean, he just, the no feet and the pouches all over everything and the just the bullshit that was like 90s Image superhero comics. Like, man, if I could tell one comic book artist, just stop, that it'd be him. I'd be like, dear Rob Liefeld, stop it. Like, if you're listening to this podcast right now, just stop it. No one likes it.
I can think of one writer who I know you've told me a few times that you would that muddles their stories.
Who's that?
Brian Johnson.
Ugh, dude, okay. I love Comic Book Man. I love all of the, you know, quote unquote characters show. Brian is hilarious in the show. Dude can't write for shit. I mean,
I really liked Cryptozoic Man. Side note,
I like Cryptozoic Man, but it's just such a clusterfuck writing wise. Like, you gotta outline it. You gotta put it together as like one coherent thing. Like, it can't just be four issues of you rambling crazy. Like, it doesn't work. I loved the art. I think they should do a Cryptozoic Man part two that's like written by someone else. Like, let's let Ming Chen have a hand at it.
Let Ralph Garman write.
Dude.
Green Lantern. I almost said Green Hornet and Batman. It's awesome.
Great.
It's awesome.
And I've heard that Ralph Garman may pick up Batman 66 as a writer for DC proper.
That would be cool.
A little bit about that on Hollywood Babylon. I would read Batman 66 forever if Ralph Garman was writing it.
He's just such a huge fan that he can – he's perfect for it.
Well, his knowledge of Batman 66 is so unbelievably comprehensive that he can – I mean, he can say things like, you know, the only other time the Green Hornet and Batman have met, they fought General Gum.
Right, right.
Like – yeah, I could have figured that out, like, using the internet.
Right.
But he knew that. Like, he already knew that. dude.
It's good. I really like it.
So,
I really like all
so
of it.
So, a secret. Can I tell you a secret?
Sure.
I think I'm going to get the Batman 66 Blu-ray for the family for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Like, that is epic. Like, I love that. And I love that they're just putting it out as a giant box set and nothing else. Like, that is super great. So, I'm gonna have to do so much editing to this show.
for those listening, this is by no means a professional podcast.
This has been happening.
You'll hear clunks and you'll hear chairs moving and my arms wrestling and those kinds of things. But I think that's the beauty of what we're doing here. It's not, we're not trying to pretend like we're professionals or
experts.
Or experts are amazing at what we do.
I can't wait for John to tell us what we said wrong this week.
Essentially, to get two guys together who love talking about anything pop culture or nerd culture and just have fun for an hour and a half. You know, this isn't meant for the masses, although hopefully that's what it turns out to be. But you'll hear things and
we don't
it is
do
what
enough
it is.
Fart jokes, I think, for the masses.
Yeah.
Hey guys, in the morning, there now that alone will get us like 50 downloads.
50 new listeners, yeah.
Minimum. Oh man, you guys should have heard the fart joke you told. What was it? He just made a fart noise.
Yeah, that was it.
that was
the gist.
It was hilarious. It was totes adorbs.
Oh my god, he ruined
it. Did it.
Side note, any other coming soon?
coming soon? Not really. Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
You know, there's always so much stuff that I'm like really excited about that it's hard to like condense it into right. like a little thing. Fire and Stone, the Alien, Predator, AVP, all of it is so good.
It's like, really it's good.
So much fun. Edge of the Spider-Verse has been really good. It's still coming out. Big kind of Spider-Man crossover featuring all the many, many incarnations of Spider-Man, including right. Spider-Man Noir, who's probably my favorite.
Okay.
So, like, he's visited by Anansi, the spider god from Africa,
okay.
and he fights with pistols and stuff, and it, like, takes place in the 30s. I love Spider-Man nice. Noir.
All right.
Man, Avengers and X-Men Axis just started coming out. New 52's Future's End is still great. Weekly comic, it's last episode, they were on like issue 21. This episode, I think we're going to hit like 27 next week. So been a little bit between recordings, but,
yeah, we're trying to get, we had the first couple took a little bit because iTunes.
Yeah.
Cause it's a pain in the ass to get them to accept, any kind of podcast. But we're going to try and do 2 a month at least, you know, if it starts picking up some steam or doing whatever, you know, maybe we'll throw a third. It just depends, but at least we're trying to do 2 a month.
And then see what else is coming out. That's pretty cool. DC started another weekly title, which didn't get a lot of fanfare. And I thought that was kind of a mistake. But it's called Earth 2 World's End. And I think I've been enjoying Future's End enough, and I think they might be slightly connected.
Right.
So I'll probably pick up at least the first couple of issues just to see where that goes. Cause I mean, it's got Batman Beyond on the cover.
Right.
So, I mean, that's good times. Like pretty much anything he's involved in, I've really enjoyed. So.
Cool. Well, I think that's all for this segment. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with some old shit.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Okay, so we're back from the quick break. You're going to hear from John first, just like normal. He had a little trouble remembering the title of his own segment. For future reference, it's two middle-aged men talking about old shit that they still love.
Yeah. I don't understand. How's that hard for an old man to remember?
Who knows? Who knows?
You know what I'm super stoked about? That you said it, so I wouldn't have to remember what it's called.
That's too funny.
I like when the young men do my job for me.
But you'll hear from John first, and then we'll come back and you'll hear from Gabe.
And now we'll hear what Gabe's pick is.
So for me, I've been catching up on a lot of comics this week. Like with the weird schedule changes and stuff, I find myself in this weird space where I have a ton of downtime,
right?
Like for a couple hours every day. So I'm just like, cool, buttload of comics going right. into my brain. And I stumbled on something that I had picked up but hadn't had a chance to read yet. IDW has an imprint called Yo, Y-O-E. And Y-O-E does I think it's a guy's last name. I think the editor is a guy named Craig Yo. I would have to look that up. I'm like 90% sure that's what's going on there. But anyway,
I'm old. Don't make me remember things.
But Yo does this really cool thing. They originally started out with a book called Haunted Horror. And Haunted Horror collects pre-code horror anthology stories. Each issue's got like, you know, six, eight stories in it.
Right, right.
Really, really good. Really high quality comic books, like physically really high quality. They come out typically quarterly, like so one comes out every 3 months or so.
Okay.
I love it. Haunted Horrors, hands down, one of my favorite current running books. But Yo also released a book called Weird Love. Okay.
Okay.
So because I know there's people that listen to the podcast that aren't super familiar with comics, like let me give you a quick rundown. So, in like the infancy of the comic book industry,
right,
you had all these different comic book companies doing literally whatever. You know,
they could be anything from like Batman and Superman or like the Flash and the Shadow and stuff like that to like damn near pornographic comics. Okay. I mean, just like dirty, dirty, raunchy. Like, I don't even mean like the violent side of it.
Right.
Like super risque, you know.
Boobs and ass everywhere.
Yeah. Just TNA all over the place. All right. Just boom. Okay. So after World War II, in the mid-40s, etc., this guy, whose name I don't remember because I just think he's a dick and have never bothered to memorize his name, did a bunch of quote-unquote research where he found that kids were finding violent comic books and they're, you know, going out and being violent.
Right.
You know, the same argument that you hear about Marilyn Manson or Call of Duty Black Ops, right? That's not what makes us violent. What makes us violent is that we're human beings, and human beings in general are douchebags.
Right.
You know, but, so he made a big stink about it and he took it before Congress. Okay. And like all this crazy stuff happened and something was developed called the Comics Code.
Right.
If you look at comic books, like we have a few here on the table even, if you look at comic books that came out within a certain era, typically between like, you know, the 50s to about the 90s.
Right.
There's a little symbol. It's like an A with some laurels around it. And it says on it, this comic book was approved by the Comics Code Authority.
Right.
And what that meant is that there was like a specific set of guidelines. It can't have witchcraft in it. It can't have, you know, blood in it. It can't have nudity in it. It can't have this. It can't have that. It's almost like a rating system for comic books, which is what they've moved to now. Like sometime in like the 90s, a lot of the big titles wanted to tell stories where somebody dies a horrible death. Right. So they would just take the symbol off of the cover and do whatever. And the comics, instead of selling less, actually sold significantly more. So comics have now moved to like a rating system that's very similar to the video game rating system. Okay. So comics that came out before the Comics Code are called pre-code comics. Like kind of a no-brainer now that you've heard the super long story. Okay. Like I said, Haunted Horror collects pre-code like horror anthology books.
Right.
Some of them are super graphic. Some of them are kind of creepy. Most of them are just hilariously weird. Like because they could just do whatever.
Right.
And with that freedom, I mean, you're seeing that a lot now. Like earlier in the show, I was talking about Dark Engine, which is like this barbarian science fiction crazy town book. It makes little to no sense, and it's perfect because of that. You know, Yo has started releasing this book called Weird Love. Okay. On top of all the risque and violence and horror and gore, there were tons of like romance comic books.
Right.
Because comic books weren't really designed for kids for quite a long time. They were just like something pulpy. You know, you dropped your nickel, you dropped your 10 cents or whatever, so that you had something to read on the bus that wasn't like super involved, so that you could put it down and wasn't a big deal. So there were tons and tons of romance books, and they came out a lot like the horror comics. Like EC was really big at the time with like Tales of Suspense and, you know, Tales from the Crypt and, you know, all that stuff. So they came out the same way, where you would get like this pulp book that was usually, you know, probably about 80 pages.
Right.
And it would have like 5-8 stories in it, right? So what Weird Love has done is they've gone through these romance ones, and 90% of them were like, oh, Jimmy, I love you so much. Oh, June, I love the way you dress.
Blah, right.
Blah, blah. You know, they're just typical, like just as shitty as a romance novel. But like Weird Love, they've dug through all these books and just found the most bizarre examples of these comics. What's a good example from one of them? Too Fat for Love is about this girl that's too fat for any boy to love her. Okay. And obviously she has a high school sweetheart that's, you know, always telling you're beautiful, you are, whatever. No, there's no way you could actually love me, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So one day her dad has one of his employees over
for dinner. And
right.
He eats dinner with them. He's all, why don't we go on a walk? Blah, blah, blah. And as they're on a walk, he's like, I've fallen in love with you over dinner. Marry me. And she's all like, oh, this is so romantic and wild. I'll say yes, blah, blah, blah. And one day her dad forgets his wallet at home. So she takes his wallet. And there's the guy that asked her to marry. I want your half of the company before I marry your fat, ugly daughter. Oh, wow. And she's like, no, my heart is broken. And so she goes and hides in her room and refuses to eat. And her high school hunky boyfriend comes over and he's like, no, I love you just the way they are. Right. You are. And she's like, I should have seen your love the whole time. She gets out of bed. And because she hasn't eaten for 2 weeks, she's skinny and beautiful.
Right.
Like it's nuts. It's nuts like that. They're just weird, funky stories that are like these crazy, like romancy stories, but just stupidly weird and like so much fun. And it makes me want to do is find any pre-code book that I can find and just dig into it because they're chock full of stuff like that.
Right.
It was just complete and unbridled creativity. Like there was a point where they're just like, we need to make X amount of comic books a week. You know, we need X amount of content for our horror book, X amount of content for our Western book, X amount of content for our romance book, X amount of content for our detective book.
Right.
Go. And the guys were like, I've got this idea. Okay. You know, I've got this ridiculously crazy idea. Okay. Like that. I would love to see make a comeback. And there is a little bit of that.
Are pre-code comics the same as the banned comics?
No. So banned comics can actually expand into a lot. I've read a few of like the banned comics.
Right.
And you have books in there that are modern. A lot of books. Watchmen is a banned book.
Huh.
Mostly because of Dr. Manhattan's giant dong. Like, you know.
Right.
Big blue dick. books like Blankets has been banned because there's some nudity in it. But it's like completely in context. And it's not – you know how there's like movies that have nudity and sex sure. in them and it makes sense
right.
because it's part of the story. And then there's, you know – Emmanuel Volume 7. You know, there's nudity that's meant for plot and there's nudity meant for fapping.
Right.
Like, and sane people can tell the difference.
Right.
Those people don't live in Arkansas. Like, you know, like it's amazing the things that get banned because of nudity. And you're just like, I was like, just because you see a nipple doesn't mean that like, you know, I'm
going to go crazy.
I know. I'm going to just hump everything that moves. Like Oh God.
Will tell us.
I'm butchering the name of that. it's a book that takes place in the Middle East. It's about a girl growing up and loving, you know, punk rock and comic books
right.
and having to live like in this completely oppressive towards women's society. Like it's a banned book because it's got swear words in it. Oh my God. Like there's this certain point where like the reactionaryism of like, oh my God, it's got profanity or, oh my God, there's, you know, it, even with the code, oh my God, there's a chopped off head.
Right.
Well, that book's not for you.
Right.
Like if you don't want to read a story where people are being decapitated,
don't buy it.
Don't buy it. Like, it's not like I'm threatening to decapitate you if you don't read the comic book right, about decapitations, right. You know, it baffles me that people go out of their way to say, you know,
not only do I not like this, but you shouldn't like it either.
Yeah. And you get that ridiculous, cause banned book month was,
it just happened. Yeah.
Or it just happened.
That's why I asked.
I was at the library with my kids. And they had a banned book display and they're like, well, what are banned books? And I explained to them, these are books that have been banned in some place or another because someone found it offensive
right.
and forced a library to not have it or forced a store to not have it. And there is stuff on there that you're just like, what?
Huckleberry Finn.
Huckleberry Finn. I completely understand how it happened because
you know, 300 freaking times.
I might bleep that out.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, let's be honest. Right. That's what happened. Like, people read the word, they become offended.
Right.
But it's contextually correct. Like, I mean, I don't think Mark Twain was a racist.
Right.
I couldn't tell you, never met the guy, you know, but he was using colloquialism. Like, Django Unchained isn't banned from theaters.
Sure.
Uses the word just as much. But because Sam Jackson and Jamie Foxx say it and not Mark Twain, like, we don't get up in arms about it. It's that.
That's where you have to draw the line between, you know, why is this not okay, but it is okay in this context.
And it's completely, you know what I mean? It's completely subjective.
Like, for sure. Totally.
If you're offended by the book, don't read it.
Right.
If you're afraid that your kid is going to be corrupted by it, don't let them read it. But it's Mark Twain. Right. It's like important American literature. Right. And not only is it important American literature because of the story that it's telling and the time in history that it's portraying, just in a literary sense, his ability to use like vernacular in writing is unreal,
right,
and unprecedented. So if you have a problem with it, continue being an uneducated fuck and go have a problem with it somewhere else, right, and leave me alone. Like, I will read
you
whatever.
You don't get to dictate what I read.
I will read whatever you want. If you don't want your kids to read it, please, by all means, homeschool them so right. they'll be even more socially awkward. Like, and it's weird. I feel like my angst about it is doubled down by the fact that I went to private school from like fourth grade through the end of high school. So I would be reading, let's say, a Stephen King novel on my lunch break,
right,
and be told that I'm not allowed to have that book at school. So I just go sit on the public sidewalk that's 10 feet away and be like, balls to you, man. Like, I'll read whatever the hell I feel like reading. So, and my kids are the same way. Like, my daughter reads whatever she wants.
Right.
And if she has, and that's the thing.
It's because you teach them essentially what's right and what's wrong and what's okay and what's not. You know what I mean?
And they're not stupid. My kids understand that they're not supposed to say the word that you threatened to bleep out.
Which, and I probably will.
Which I don't need to say again, you know? Like, my kids know that they're not supposed to say it.
Right.
They can read it in a book without thinking to themselves, I'm going to say that all the time.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's just like another example. Captain Underpants is a banned book. Why? Because he wears his underpants on the outside. Like, how is that? Why? Why do you care? Why do you care at all? And the same thing, the uproar over the comics code. I get it. You don't want your kids to read X book for whatever reason. So what? Don't buy it for them. If you don't want them to if you don't want them to spend their allowance on it, like, that is a personal child rearing issue. That is not my problem. Stop taking away my comic books. Like, I feel like I would have gone to the congressional meeting and said lots of swear words.
And they would have banned you.
Yeah. The House acknowledges Mr. Giannis. Dear Senator Fucknut, shut up. I will read whatever I want to read.
Please get the guy the hell out of here. Yeah.
Secret Service, please arrest this man. Be like, no, I'll leave on my own. Screw you guys. Comics Authority.
Well, I think that wraps up the evening here that we're having.
Yeah.
Well, we will once again. I want to thank Grizzly Gambit Gaming.
You're having a hard time with that.
I'm having a horrible name, horrible time for that for some reason.
Be sure to check him out on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on the works. While you're at it, go ahead and like us on Twitter at Outside Long Box. Go to facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox. You can email us at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. What else?
If you've got something cool you want to talk about, let us know. I mean, yeah, that's how we hooked up with these guys.
We had a really good time doing that interview. If you're a comic book creator, a game creator, if you make
indie, low budget, low brow movies.
Whatever.
Whatever, man. We just want to talk with people about the cool shit that they're doing.
I think we're talking to somebody who's making a movie in the next couple of podcasts.
We're going to talk to the guys or the lady and the dude that are making Ghoul in the Graveyard. It's actually a movie that's being filmed here in Greeley, Colorado, which is where we live. Well, you live in Eaton,
but
I live in Greeley. Oh, whatever.
Just kidding.
They would be able to find you because like 20 people live in Eaton. So. But if you have a cool project, we want to hear about it.
We want to hear about it. Even if you don't want to come on and talk, you know, let us know and we can talk on Facebook or Twitter and you know, go from there.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? We don't have a YouTube.
I
thought about just putting pictures to like the audio of these and putting it on YouTube, but you told me I could.
I don't think it would run very well. Well, maybe that's something we'll do in the future. I think we're going to.
It's the stupidest idea, Juan.
That idea. Oh, okay. I'm talking about YouTube in general.
Oh, okay.
we'll probably be doing, I really want to do not live podcasts necessarily, but more interactive podcasts like Free Comic Book Day and I think Horror Fest or
Halloween Comic Fest is coming up. The guys with Grizzly Gambit Gaming were talking about how they're going to be doing it in their local town. If you want to meet at least half of us,
meet the stars of this podcast.
Yeah, I think Juan will probably be there part of the time.
I'm sure I'll drop by.
But we're gonna be. I'll be definitely working at the Nerd Store for Halloween Comic Book Fest. That's in Greeley, Colorado, 807 8th Street. We would love to hang out with you guys. I'm there most Saturdays, which most people have the day off. Come hang out with me. Chat comics. Like I'll talk way too much, just like I do on this.
And, you know, like I said, in the future, maybe I'll be there with my mic and maybe talk to some people in line or talk to some people as they're leaving. We want to take it outside sometimes as well. But I think that's all we have for this episode. And, we'll leave you with all of that. Anything else?
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah. Like, thanks for listening.
I'm not sure how many of you are listening, but man,
at least five or six
of you. Hit us up on Facebook. Don't be afraid to chat bullshit at us.
Even if it's something stupid. I don't care.
I'm a huge fan of something stupid. I specifically said in the last episode, it doesn't have to be good. I like a lot of dumb stuff. And as I was listening to it, I was like, I sound like a moron, but that is so true. I like so much dumb shit. But anyways.
We'll leave you with that. I'm Juan.
I'm Gabe.
And we'll catch you later.
See you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is put together by Juan, Gabe, and John. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Baron Space production.